Blog Talk Radio.
So obvious, run from home after the night we up out of it. Don't go home, cause they just ran me up out of that. All of those drunken nights, then fucking every night. She run her mouth, but can't eat right. Don't read between the lines to figure out how to be white. She smelt the line, baby, you know you don't need white. Now look what we did, now the cops behind us. Ran that red light, did you have to be mindless? That's the nature. We all know that cocaine killed Dave, but from the scholar, let us get by with this. She stepped in the hell, cause when it got cold, don't look in the eyes, you might see straight to her soul. Don't say yes to that good, cause you never know. Cause we lost in the city, but sin is no biggie.
I'm here with open arms, and that's God. Here is where her heart belongs.
Welcome to Sin City. Yet the population still increases its density, and that increases its intensity, which increases the propensity to complicate your simplicity. No matter your ethnicity, all for the sake of publicity.
Bad bitches with ass shots. Use a house as a stash spot. Lexus coupe with the rag top. I'm in the loop, boy, I'm tied like an ass guy. I used to run with the have nots. Kept the AV hot just so we could have knots. A lot of niggas see they dreams in the glass pot until the judge throw you in that box and watch your ass ride. We broke all the commandments. Authentic, I'm hand stitched. Come spend a day in my hamlet. My city lost, some say it's Atlantis. I went to Cannes with a tan bitch, Francis. She rode the broom on the beach, that's a sandwich. So I ate her like it. Haters hate to like it. Sex, drugs, and playing dice, those are our favorite vices. But this life will take a toll on you. Well, I guess you gotta pay the prices. I know who Christ is. And he never hung with the saints. It makes no sense to save the righteous. By the age 10, we were caged in. Now they raise men in the state pen. Fake friends, forgive them for they sins. God bless the city, amen.
I'm here with open arms, and that's God. Here is where her heart belongs.
One of the residents, Day Walker, none of the Reaper cuss, but all of the decadence and all the fucking debauchery. Adult film stars, somebody's fucking watching me. Watching I always me. Feel like, I'm almost feel like, cause I can feel it in the air tonight. I did some wrongs I wouldn't dare to write, and wrote some songs I wouldn't dare recite. But I am willing to share tonight in the city that is as unfair as life.
Coming to you live from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Needle on the Record on Blog Talk Radio. Here are your hosts, Angela T. and Angela Marie.
Woo, woo, woo. We back up in this piece for another week.
Yes. I'm so excited. So turned up. I don't know what to do. Well, today is a blessed day. Today is Thursday. This is Needle on the Record. I'm Angela T.
And I'm Angela Marie. And you dang on right. Today is a blessed day. Every day is. But I just have to say that my week started off with a biggity bang bang on Sunday because Orange is the New Black got the awards.
They got the SAG award because we know
yes.
them sisters be acting.
Listen.
Acting, putting it down. They deserve the SAG award. I love Orange is the New Black. I heard you hollering.
I know the whole block heard me. Like, y'all need to understand this right now. I don't watch TV because I don't have time. I find time for Orange is the New Black, though. Me and my boo, we sit down in front of the TV during school hours or when the kiddos are asleep.
So you can really get it in.
Yes, it's a maximum of 2 episodes a night because they got some long-ass episodes. They're about 49 minutes long.
You know what? When you do everything in the world and you finally sit down, you probably get sleepy, huh?
Oh, Lord, them eyelids be so heavy. 2 episodes is a whole lot, but that is my show. I started calling out character names and literally acting like a damn fan, like, oh, my gosh, she has on a dress.
You know, the funniest thing about Orange is the New Black to me is when you see them out of their character
mm-hmm.
and you see how beautiful all of them are. Every
mm-hmm.
cast member looks so vastly different than they look in their prison uniform.
Yes. Yes.
It's always funny to me to see them in real world context, so congratulations to Orange is the New Black. Can't wait for the new season, man. I'm trying to look for the new start date, but I don't see it just yet. But it's coming back soon.
Soon, my tail. Listen, they come out religiously in June, 2 years in a row.
Yeah,
okay,
that's
since
true.
They debuted. I don't think that they are going to change
you
the game.
Don't think June is soon enough.
Now, hell no. I think that we got excited because they had a social media presence right after the second season. And I was even convinced that they were going to cheat like these other shows be cheating.
How they
you
be
know?
Cheating?
They squeezed 2 seasons in a year, and they got me thinking that I'm crazy. I know a season for most of my life has been pretty much a year. You know, you take the holidays off, you run the episodes over again, and by the summer, they're ready for the summer break.
Right.
But they come in the late fall, well, early fall, rather.
Is that
maybe
June?
August. I think seasons started in August, but the real popular shows get it in at the end of September. By the time the holidays roll around, they get to running reruns, and then by the time January comes, they're talking about it's a new season. I know I ain't crazy.
Oh.
I love Orange is the New Black because they follow the rules. Thank you for following the rules and keeping season, like, legit.
I was reluctant to watch Orange is the New Black because, you know, I thought, you know, it was who thinks prison is funny? It's not funny.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch it initially for a long time. I didn't watch the first season for a long time. Then finally I'm like, well, I do need to laugh. Maybe it is funny. Maybe I'm being too hard on it. And I got to say I enjoyed every frame of that first season. We got to say congratulations to them for 2 reasons. They not
yes.
only cleaned up at the SAG Awards, they also cleaned up at the PGA, the Producer Guild Awards.
And that's just, yes,
I
because
think
producer,
totally
you worked your tail off. When I tell you, I relate so much. Listen, this is how big of a fan
it
I am.
It's crazy how you relate to these storylines.
Not only just, like, I read them. When they got
when
on
stage. You don't have anything to in common with people that might be in prison.
It's
you,
like, actually, yes, the hell
yes,
I do.
Yes, you
yes,
do.
Yes, I do. Now, Piper,
yes.
I am Piper. If Lord, please don't let nothing happen to me and my freedom. Because Lord have mercy, y'all would be looking at me the way we be looking at Piper.
Piper's too funny.
I have to say a major from the bottom of my heart, congratulations.
Congrats.
From Uzo. I don't know if I pronounced your name correctly. I'm
probably
so sorry if
it,
I did.
But we love you.
But she won for being crazy ass.
Well,
she
know Crazy Eyes is the favorite character.
Oh,
she's my
God.
Favorite.
She is. And she was so beautiful. On the SAG Awards, her dress was...
Yeah, that yellow
How
worked.
You did that.
You worked.
Girl, you
worked. Worked, Diva.
And then when they won as a cast, I literally started running off character names to my grandma. She was like, who
are
they?
You talking about?
I'm like, oh, girl, that's Piper right there. That's Poussey. Samaria. I ran the whole you dig down to my grandma.
See.
She was very, clutch the pearls. Sorry, grandma. That's the chick's name. I didn't do it.
On a little real life, Orange is the New Black. Taryn Manning, a stalker got sentenced to 45 days in jail.
Oh, sheesh McGee's.
I did not know one of them had a stalker. That news just came across my desk. That's the Taryn.
The meth head. That's
Manning
Tiffany.
Is Tiffany. Her character's Tiffany, and she has a real life stalker.
Wow.
She got crazy eyes. Actually, look at that. This lady took this show too seriously. She has a female stalker who's going to spend, 45 days in jail.
You know
apparently.
What? That show is so creative. I'm sure the producer's figuring out a way to draw from real life experiences.
Well,
I won't be mad.
You know, in the second season, the girl that was obsessed with the wedding, what's her character name? She was actually, her character actually is a stalker. So the stalker storyline is already in Orange is the New Black.
Well, I ain't mad at you.
Yeah.
Let me see what's
so,
her name.
So, I hope, Miss Manning gets some peace, and this other person that's Jenny Heller, I hope you get some help, sugar, and, don't take this show too literally, man.
Please don't. Stalking is never okay.
It's illegal, people.
It is, for a reason.
Well, I'm excited and turned up with a lot of other people. Tonight is the night, people. Scandal comes back. How to Get Away with Murder.
At this point, I'm sure I've missed six seasons of Scandal since they have 14 seasons in a year. But no, literally, for the last couple years, I have been off. So I'm sure it's about six seasons behind.
You've been off. Wipe me down. Off.
Yeah. I don't even feel like whatever.
You don't
but
feel bad about it. You don't feel
really
no kind
don't.
Of way. You shouldn't. I mean, it's just TV, people. One thing about it, that's the nice thing about it, Netflix is available.
Yes, I love that it's available when I'm available. Hey,
yes.
Now, that make me feel special.
Netflix is available. So
okay,
while you checking out season two, sounds like.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to. I just, I'm not.
The rest of the world
I'm not intrigued at all.
Tonight.
I'm over it with Scandal. I'm over it with Grey's. I'm over it with ABC. I am on Orange is the New Black and being Mary Jane and Power.
I'm waiting for being Mary Jane. February 3rd, Gabrielle Union will be bringing her special brand of crazy drama.
That's less than a week from now, people.
That I love. I think, I told you last season that this is the most real talk show.
Yes.
On air right now. If
yes.
You really want to know what's really going on in the black community and with black women, please
I bet you find
check
out through being Mary Jane.
Being Mary Jane, Miss Gabrielle Union is bringing that thing together.
Yes. Now, I saw a clip where she getting roasty and toasty,
yeah.
And the youngest
she
brother
like
is at the house. Yeah, well,
she actually like alcohol.
She get friendly with that wine bottle, I think, and then she get reckless.
I was reading some health books recently, and for whatever reason, it never dawned on me that your body processes alcohol as poison.
Yeah,
I
learned that.
No different from botulism or, if you accidentally take in some rat poisoning, your body would do the same thing. I mean, same thing with that coconut Ciroc. I'm going to have to let it go.
I'm not letting it go. I'm not. I did learn in high school that alcohol is poison, and they taught us this when they were teaching us about driving under the influence.
It never dawned on me.
And they did some, made-for-TV movie, and
a Lifetime movie. They showed y'all a Lifetime.
I'm sure Oak Park River Forest, it looked like it was something they produced themselves. It was not top of the chart production, but it was something about a kid being at a house party, kicking it and drinking, and then getting this horrific accident. So it was super duper bad. And then at the end, all the teachers came up, and yeah, you know, alcohol is really poison. So don't get into that.
Don't do it. Well, you know, I had in my childhood, I had two instances where friends were lost. They lost their lives to drinking and driving.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm always a staunch advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always on everybody. Look, who's driving?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Y'all going out? Y'all be safe. Stay in the same. Stay with each other. And don't drink and drive. That's why, because I had friends lost to drinking and driving. I do know that it's for real damaging.
Yes.
And life-altering if not handled responsibly. So drink responsibly, people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to drink, me, myself, it was something about reading those words this week that it just clicked with me. This ain't even nothing I really enjoy necessarily.
Oh, it helps me relax.
Social.
It takes the edge off
of
me.
It is social.
It is social.
Thing, but I don't need it.
I drink a handful of times a month, and that's for a busy month.
Right,
holiday season.
It's very rare.
Yeah,
I do it, but I'm just gonna make it never now.
Oh well, good luck with that.
Make it last for never.
I will support you verbally while raising my glass of Ciroc and pineapple juice.
So seriously, I still have a sip of coconut Ciroc downstairs somewhere around my flat.
Oh, your flask. You gonna drink it?
My flask. Whatever. Anyway, be responsible, people. Be responsible.
Now, speaking of responsibility, I want to talk about someone that was irresponsible because it cracked me up.
Oh no!
Everybody is getting in the know with Lil Wayne and Birdman and their breakup and the lawsuit with Lil Wayne alleging that Birdman refusing to put out the Carter, it has to be the Carter 6. I think the Carter 5 already came out, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
it's
the Carter 5. Okay,
thank you.
So yeah, the Carter 5 is not
your
being
Roman
released.
Noodles.
I mean, I know, right? The Roman noodles.
Your
I
Roman noodles.
Remember.
I mean, your Roman noodles. Your Roman numbers.
Numerals. I got it.
Right.
Well, everybody is upset. Well, not really. Everybody is really poking fun at this situation. I feel bad for Wayne because he has to take it to the courts. He's no longer with Cash Money, allegedly. And allegedly he's repping Young Money. And, you know, he just putting his damn foot down. So you people at the record labels, be responsible with your ex. You dig?
You dig.
He is the golden goose. You better be good to the golden goose.
You know, it's just very sad to me to see another era coming to an end. And, you know, it was inevitable because the music business has changed so drastically from the way they do business. You don't need all of these situations in
mm-hmm.
place in order to put a record out. Now you literally can hit a button. So,
I think that was Lil Wayne's point. I have not checked out the newest Lil Wayne mixtape. The reviews are that it absolutely sucks. I haven't checked it out, so I will check it out between now and the next show and give my honest opinion, uncandidly.
You haven't checked what part out?
The new mixtape.
Oh,
that
I heard it. Yeah.
I heard
well,
that
I'm
it's
not, big,
not great. I'm
not
a huge
big
Lil Wayne fan.
Lil Wayne fan.
I'm such a huge Lil Wayne
but
fan.
But I am proud of the accomplishments. I do respect what a great MC he is, and I respect the business behind Cash Money and Young Money.
I respect this picture that he got. The name of the mixtape is called Sorry for the Wait, and he has all this blood or this red stuff that looks like it's definitely emulating blood all over his grill and his hands. I respect that. You know, it looks mighty painful. So I'm guessing he's sending a hell of a message through a picture. This picture is worth 10 million words.
Well, you know, that's not even the picture I saw initially. The first picture with the mixtape was his hand down a diamond wall, it appears, and with some nice handcuffs on it. That was the first picture I saw. It wasn't even his face. But, you know, that picture spoke volumes as well.
Well, all right.
Well, today we're continuing on our Grammy quest. We're talking with Grammy winners, Grammy nominees, all the way up to the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
Today we got one of our homeboys, Chi-Town's finest,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Malik Yosef, 5-time Grammy Award winner. Three
can
nominations.
Can we just pause on that? You can't skip over winning a Grammy, not once.
Not twice.
But 5 times. And, you know, I'm so bewildered by this. I respect the heck out of this man. And when he comes on the line, I'll tell him my personal interaction with him. He ain't even know we had a personal relationship, but we go way back. And he ain't even know. But
he ain't even know.
He has 5 Grammys, and so many people scratch their head when you say Malik Yosef.
Yeah, it's amazing. He's signed to Good Music,
mm-hmm.
Kanye's label. From what I understand, he's working on the project right now to be released this year. If you go to MalikYosefJones.com, you can also pick up Deconstructed, Good Morning, Good Night, Deconstructed by Malik Yosef. A lot of people don't realize that this brother has won a Tony Award, a Peabody, ASCAP Awards.
Come on now.
This is the outward manifestation of a child from Chicago public school system who is dyslexic, had a very hard time reading and expressing himself, to come to the heights.
A world-renowned spoken word
artist.
When people tell you what you can't do, you show them
you
what
say,
you can.
Bye, honey. Bye, hunty.
Oh, man. This is everything for me. We live in Vegas now. We've been in Vegas. We relocated to Vegas 10 years ago. Along that time frame, I lived in Miami and came back here. But I promise to goodness, my Chicago roots run so deep. Like, I cannot lose my Chicago accent. People always make me aware of the fact that it exists. And it's something that I don't even recognize because it's just me. And when I hear stories of success and encouragement and inspiration from other people that are born and raised from Chicago and are making themselves known everywhere, my heart just swells up. I am so excited for today's show.
Very excited. So before we get into that interview, let's hear some. We opened up with Malik.
Sin City, baby.
Yep, and a lot of features on that song. But we're going to get into Nobody Smiling, Malik Yosef featuring Common. Another Chicago, Rashid, homeboy.
Woo-woo.
Yes. Let's get it.
I'm from Chicago, nobody smiling. Niggas wildin' on Stony Island. Where the chief and the president come from? Pop out, pop pills, pop guns. On the deck when the ops come. Pop some, ops run. This ain't a game, nigga. Ain't no options. Niggas selling on the block like an auction. Dig into my pockets, see a profit. Where the money and the bitches is where the gods is. Godfathers in the lodges. At the spot, hold money like a hostage. You wearing ostrich. From the projects with pasta, I draw with the goddess like an artist. Getting paper with no margins. Money gods, I do it for Hadia and Trayvon Martin. Yo. In the shy, ain't a damn thing funny. Thinking of ways to get money. Drive
drop down late, showing scheming how to make more. If we ain't eating together, what does this take for? Ain't nobody giving it, that's what we take for. Niggas is broke, what I need a break for? Glaciers of ice, lasers and lights, let the chains glow heavy, we paid for them twice. Made for the life, ball out like we out of bounds. Bars and guns, niggas got a lot of rounds. Trippin' like you from out of town. The 4 pounder leave you on the ground without a sound. Ain't no fathers round, sons of anarchy. Fighting the tips, trafficking and grand larceny. At the party with the thoughts, with the extra body. I'm in the inner city, it's the outer body. Face on t-shirts with no hashtags, just big ass trash bags tagged hash. Out here shit been trill. Fake ass gangster, quick to take a bag, cash, 5 versus 6, Star Wars, no stickers, real bullet holes in car doors. Out of 10 people that were shot, 7, 8, 9, 2 Trey 8, and 1 4 5, trying to get some 2 3s, the numbers game. Then here come the fame, but they won't say no name. Are these celebrities way too shy to be loyal to the town? I take my publishing check and spread my royalties around. Pope, bishops, disciples, stones, counts, princes, lords, queens, and kings. They drilling on my land, but ain't no oil to be found. I might be part of the problem. I guess they just trying to prove they can back that shit up. Most of them can't even moonwalk. My little cousin Bump J don't know what he did when he introduced that goon talk. If they have Scarface casting at the crib, I don't know about. So many shorties have tried out for the role. That's why he slide out and ride out with the pole. Now I see how my daddy felt the dark day he discovered that black power didn't keep the lights on. Right on, the dilly depart is still rapping to you, looking for some yellow, white, red, black, brown flesh to write on. How long will they mourn me after I'm out of mind, out of sight, gone? Crash, head-on collision, affects both riders the most. Good music in the building, yeah, we got ghost riders. They just actually ghosts.
Miss me. My sister is an awesome, awesome poet, though. I love what she does.
Well, without further ado, we seem to have cleared up our technical snafus. I don't want to waste another moment. I'd like to welcome to the Needle on the Record platform, 5-time Grammy Award winner, Emmy winner, Tony winner, Peabody winner, all-around winner, Mr. Malik Yosef.
Yo.
What's up?
What
up, man? How you doing?
We blessed. Good music is in the building.
Damn. You got that right. Listen, I just got to let you know, because you did not know this, but you were a major part of my childhood growing up, because you used to come on WGCI at night, right before they turned into Quiet Storm, and deliver the spoken word before they ended the countdown. And I look forward to it. That actually was kind of one of the harder things for me to get over once we moved to Vegas, because they don't have anything like that here.
Yeah, I know. I know, man. I always think about those times when I was doing it, and then after me, Kwesi started doing it. It was just, you know,
right.
a very amazing thing to be able to be on the largest urban radio station in the country and doing spoken word. It was just,
absolutely.
You know, but it was cathartic, and I think it was needed, you know. And I think that some of that balance is gone. Like, I mean, the music that's out right now, I turn up to it and everything else, but we got to have a balance. You know, when I was coming up,
mm-hmm.
it was Too Short and NWA, but it also was PE and X-Clan, you know. So
absolutely.
I think we don't have the balance is what's missing, you know. And, like, I mean, I don't eat vegetables all the time, nor do I eat, you know, nor do I eat steak all the time. So balance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got to have that balance on the play. How do you think, I just think about what's going on in the city now. Young people are having a hard time in Chicago right now, making international news. I just think maybe we ought to bring back the quiet, the spoken word, quiet storm.
Yeah.
Calm some folks down and heal some spirits.
I think so, too. I think that the spoken word does that. I mean, it did it for me because what these shorties are doing on the street right now, I did my whole life growing up. You know, I was probably worse than them. You know, I tell people all the time, said, Chief Keef, this, I was worse than Chief Keef. I know Chief Keef, and he hasn't done, you know, 10% of what I did. But the spoken word and concerned people that was able to get breakthrough to me in my language and say, hey, brother, I know what you're doing. I know you're trying to provide, but check this out. Here's your alternative. And that's the balance, the yin and the yang, the alternate component. We all have the ability to do some incredibly terrible things to ourselves and each other. We also have the ability to do some incredibly amazing things to ourselves and for each other, you know.
I think.
Go ahead, baby.
I think that's the redemption factor right there. Because we do all do horrible things. We're human beings. It's in the blood. It was there before we realized it. But when we acknowledge it and we put energy towards making things a little bit better, not only do we put the work forth for us to actually get it done on a personal level, but from another level, we inspire somebody else to make that change as well.
Yeah, I concur with that statement. Change is the only constant in the universe.
That's right.
When we have the ability to elevate ourselves, see, it's about the, to say improve. It's really about the transformative component. You have to transform yourself because improvement can be shaky. You can improve until something gets hard, but if you transform into another creature, no matter how hard times get, you'll stay consistent. And consistency is the mother of success. So if you want to be successful in anything you do, you want to be consistent. If you want to change your mind, change your body, change your environment, it's about consistency. You know, old time we used to see cartoons when I was little, and on the side of a wagon and say, California or bust. It was like, if I don't make it to California, it's nothing. I'm not gonna stay here in this place where there's nothing.
Right.
So you have to have that attitude. And I often tell people, if you have a backup plan, you're going to use it. Like if you're in the street, if you got a gun, you're going to find a way to use it. You got to figure out a way to use it. So have a backup plan.
That's so true.
Have one plan, go to it, and let it sprout out different things because a tree don't have a backup plan. It say, I'm going to grow regardless. But in order to grow, I'm going to make these roots deeper, spread out more, catch the water. I'm going to make these branches wider, these leaves bigger to catch the sunlight. You know, photosynthesis, all the scientific components that we have, but the tree is feeding itself off of the wind, the dirt, the water, and the sun.
That's right.
That's what it needs. That's what it needs, and it goes and catches, makes its roots deep so it can get the dirt and get the water. It makes its leaves broad so it can catch the sunlight. And that's how I think we have to start teaching our children, like, you have it in you. You just got to grow. You just got to transform from a seed to a tree. And if we teach our children that it's in them, they got it in them to do. Just like they sit and play video games all day, they can sit there and learn math all day, too. But it's a mind state. You got to change. You got to transform that mind state. And I think music is a very important part of that. All kind of music, you know, every genre of music. I think rap is important. I think having fun with R&B is important. But I think it also has to be some information in there, too.
Absolutely. That was the best thing about coming up in Chicago. I'm older than both of you guys on the line right now. So, you know, I recently interviewed with Lionel Richie and experienced his live concert for the first time. And it just took me back to Chicago, the west side, the south side, Lakeshore Drive. I was too done. My hands was up in the air, and I was dancing like nobody was there when he did Fancy Dancer. I was like, oh, man, you done hit every Chicago note possible, every note of my childhood right here. But I say that to say that music absolutely is the connector, and it can change your life if you let it. Speaking of which, that's exactly the path that you happen to take. Talk to us a little bit first about your Grammy experience. What was it like to win your first Grammy? What was that like?
The first Grammy was weird because, you know, we kind of expected, you know, to win at least, you know, best rap album of the year. But we wanted to win best album of the year, but we won best rap album of the year with Kanye. So that was big to be able to be like, yo, we have the Grammys for real, and we won, you know. That was the first experience. But the second time, second, third, fourth, fifth time was different because it was like, I understand the Grammy process now and how hard it is to get a Grammy, how hard it is to get back to the Grammys even more so.
Please talk about that process a little bit, because a lot of people aren't aware of the process that it takes to run a Grammy campaign per se.
Yeah, well, it's obviously a business, you know. So first of all, the Grammys is a business. They televise the biggest concert in the world one day a year.
Right.
That concert will cost you, you know, $2,000 to attend at the in the back row seats if you could pay for the tickets. You know what I'm saying? If you could the Elton Johns and the Lady Gagas, you know, and everybody that comes, like, last year, you know, Beyonce kicked off the concert with her husband, with Hov, you know, and then you saw Lorde and you saw Imagine Dragons and Kendrick, you know, just insane. So when you look at that, that's just the one part of it. But also actually creating a song that the world will say, this is art. Because that is voted on by regular people, you know what I'm saying? It's not like the governing council of, you know, no high-end thinkers or anything. They're just regular people that song has touched them in some kind of way. And that's what the Grammys are, you know. That's how you get nominated. You do something very incredible that is noteworthy, and people recognize you for that. And you have to start, like, I'm working on my Grammy song right now. Like, my next year, 2016 Grammys, I'm working on that song right now. I'm riding with my man right now, Tasha Pierce. He out of HI. You know, he out of Hawaii. We in Vegas.
Hi.
Thinking about the next. They said, hi, Tasha. Aloha. Aloha. You know, Tasha is sitting in the room with us, and Kanye. He introduced us to Bruno Mars a long time ago. Well, Bruno Mars was famous. You understand? These are processes. I think a lot of people think that it's just like a just add water process, and that's not it. It's a whole bunch.
Oh, it's a lot of work to it.
And rest in peace. Yeah, and you might not.
It's a lot of work.
You might not get a nomination. You know, I'm glad that, you know, the work I did was recognized by people, and I appreciate my peers saying, "Yeah, this song is up for a nomination." You know, and that's the process, though. It's tearing your skin off. I say all the time. It's saying, man, I have to do something incredible. This has to be
incredible.
Life-changing.
Every syllable. Absolutely.
Incredible. Yes, exactly. So that's the process.
Now,
it's like, it's literally going crazy and making your way back every day. Like, go crazy and then find your way back to sanity.
Bam.
That's how I feel.
All right. Yeah. That's a deep philosophy. I'll draw with that, though.
Now, we have a segment here on the show. It's called DIY in the Music Business. What would you say to that young artist? Just give them a tip or a
word of advice.
A word of advice and how to make it in the music business today.
DIY, build a team. Build a team, because it's the industrialization process. You know, we know that buildings are built through a system. You know, you got land surveyors, blueprinters, you got the plumbers that come in. Everybody does a particular job, and then the building is built, and you walk in, and you turn on the faucet, and water come out of it, even though you're not anywhere near a lake. That's a process.
Mm-hmm.
That's industrialization, and that's what you got to do. You got to industrialize the process. Every now and then you hit the lottery. You know what I'm saying? That's fine. But that you want to take the chance of with your career on making a hit song, you know, or do you want to make you want to take a song and make it a hit? That's different. So that's the better chance. Take a song and turn it and make it a hit, as opposed to making a hit song out of everybody that's trying to make a hit song. Your chances are slim. Not that it's impossible or improbable, but it's way smarter. If you're gonna bet on something, bet on your process, not bet on your luck. Don't bet on your luck.
Wow.
I would
love that.
Talk a little bit about the difference between the two, hit song.
Well, a hit, okay, it's like this. You can make a great record, but not be a hit. You can make a great song, and it might not be a hit record. So,
right.
A hit record is just the same thing as going viral. And people think, oh, I'm gonna do a video, it's gonna go viral. Well, if it doesn't catch on the first 3 days, the chances of going viral are slim. But you have to re-implement that machine. It's just like taking off in an airplane. You have to hit all the switches at the perfect time, the right amount of fuel, the right person steering, and then you get in the air. What happens is, a lot of times, we make a really dope song in our mama's basement, and then we say, now, how do I get it to everybody? We get all our friends that we hit every time and ask them, and we depend on their kindness. We depend on them not being busy, them not being in the middle of an argument with their significant other, or not being at work, or not trying to promote somebody else's song at the same time. So you're taking a lot of chances on variables. When you should say, hey, okay, here's my song. I'm going to talk to these blogs. I'm going to talk to these radio stations. I'm going to talk to these program directors. I'm going to have this event and have it systematic. If you can systematically put these processes together, you have a far better chance. It increases your success ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Your phase to success ratio is increased. And I think that that was the heart for artists. That's the part we don't like. For creators, we like, nah, I don't want to have to talk about business. I just want this song. I want everybody to hear my song. I get people hit me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They say, all I want is people to hear my song. I'm like, all you want? That's all Elvis wanted. What do you mean that's all you want? That's
it's more to it than that. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the biggest part. Like, that's all you, that's not a merely thing. That's huge. That's like saying, all I want to do is breathe. When you underwater, that's what everybody underwater.
We know who breathing is essential to life.
Exactly,
but that's not the same as living. So you're right.
You know what I'm saying? If you underwater, yeah. Who don't want to breathe? Anybody gonna have another request but that? But that's a very hard thing. You're at the bottom of the ocean. How much you want to breathe? What's the apparatus? How do you get to that place where you can breathe? And that's where I think that the system comes in. And as aforementioned, the apparatus, you know, the breathing equipment, stuff that you have to have in place before you get to the bottom of the ocean to get the treasure and then get back up to the top with it, you know. It's not going to be that simple. It's not going to be that easy, you know. So I try to tell folk, you know, and people say, oh, well, Malik got lucky. And I did get lucky in the industry. I did get lucky, you know. Love Jones came along. Common was my friend. He got famous, you know. Carl Thomas was my friend. He got famous. Biggie, you know, Tupac, my friends got famous. But that's the lucky part. But the part that wasn't lucky was that I was there to support these people at the beginning of their career when they had nobody supporting them, when nobody was paying attention to Carl Thomas, you know, when nobody was paying attention to Biggie Smalls, nobody was paying attention to Tupac because he was carrying bags. You know, I was a teenager, and I was friends with him. So, you know, Lil
Please say that again, because a lot of people think that Tupac just came out and others just come out and they're famous. You said Tupac was carrying bags.
Carrying bags. I met him carrying bags. I met Tupac Shakur carrying bags, telling me about who he was and what he, you know, where he's from and, you know, what gang he was in and all that, you know. I met him doing that, you know, and he introduced me to Biggie Smalls. And I was like, this is my friend, Fat Chris, who was, man, incredible rapper from New York I took the initiative. I got on an airplane where he would page me and say, I'm in New York. I'd be like, cool. Or I'm going to New York. I'd be like, cool. I'd get on an airplane, you know, and get myself to where the action was. I wasn't sitting on the computer for somebody to discover me on the internet. You know, there was no internet then, but I wasn't waiting for somebody to come to me. I was going to it, you know. If the mountain won't come to Muhammad, Muhammad goes to the mountain. That's just what it is.
Absolutely.
You want, you know, you can't just say, like, I'm a mountain climber. As soon as this mountain get here, I'm going to show you. You got to get yourself.
That's definitely hard to do in the Midwest. It's flat.
Oh, yeah. Especially hard. Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just had a curious question. How did you keep yourself in the spoken word
seat when you had all these super close friends that were rappers, and rapping is just a step away from spoken word. But
you stay true to your art form.
Yes, how did you do that when it's so easy to go for, you know, what the masses are going for?
Well, see, I had a particularly, turbulent childhood and adolescence, and I lived the street life. And I know if I was rapping, my raps would definitely come out, you know, about stuff I didn't really want to talk about that much. So I think spoken word, I had a better license to be more artistic. You know, I listened to these guys rapping my life all the time. I'd be laughing because I knew when they was out rapping, trying to get on, they wasn't doing stuff I was doing, you know, that I had done in life. So I look at them, and I mean, they're entertainers. Most of these guys are entertainers.
Right.
Most of these guys, they never lived that life, and they ain't never did that thing. I did that thing for real, like for real, for real. And I didn't want to be the person talking about that. I wanted to have something else to talk about. And spoken word allowed me that, again, artistic license. It allowed me a wider berth, you know. And I stayed with that, you know.
That's the heat. That's dope. And that's telling. Not just staying true to yourself, but taking the opportunity given to elevate self and be so aware that of your situation that, like, I don't want to live my whole life like this. This is, might be where I started, but I don't want my whole race to be ran like this.
And on another perspective, I think that it encourages specifically Black men to just be vulnerable, tell your truth, and sit in it and be proud of it. You feel me? Like, I really think that's literally deep. And I think, you know, sometimes people don't understand what that is, but that means that it's way deeper than the surface, boo. It goes deep down in that thing. That's what deep is, and that's what you just did right now.
Talk to me about your Tony. Your project. Tell us the project that won you the Tony and what that journey was like.
The project that won me the Tony is me, my participation in this thing called Deaf Poetry Jam. Bruce George, Danny Simmons, and one other person has started. And Bruce George, you know, they just saw what happened with the success of Deaf Comedy Jam, and man, it was like, hey, we could do this for, you know, for poetry, spoken word, and being involved in that. And now once they took it to Broadway, you know, it took a while to catch on, but seeing it on Broadway is what won us the Tony for that, man. Just being able to go and do poetry, you know, crazy. It seems surreal now that there's so many shows, so many acts that go up, but it was, you know, at the time, it was very groundbreaking, and it was very difficult to do, but we were able to manifest it, and I'm just super proud of that. That's one of all my awards, I think, even out of the Grammys, that's the one I'm most proud of.
Now, speaking of all the projects that you are a part of, first of all, I want to ask how your foundations are doing, because you have some wonderful foundations that are organic to just the community, the For Yourself Foundation, the Girl Power, the Drop Squad. Uh-huh. What's up with them?
Well, we're still moving in the community. I just had a conversation with one of my friends who's doing a similar thing to one of my foundations. I'm going to partner with him because I don't feel like we have to compete. I feel like if we can cooperate,
join forces, absolutely.
Exactly. So the Drop Squad, and he's doing the one similar to that in Harvey. And I'm going to empower him with some of my best practices, some of my concepts that I've had to how make it better and cleaner and smarter and stronger. Because what can happen is you can easily have people lose interest. And I just keep trying to, I keep reinventing and reinvigorating the process so that young people can take advantage of their own power. And I think that's where we lose that. We say, oh, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have that. But you do have this, 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 and that. And those are
use that to get the other things that you're lacking.
Yes.
And, you know, I applaud that. I was a part of Upward Bound and another college kind of preparatory program. I went to school at Collins. I finished high school in Collins. And I love the fact that you have organizations. You're a big wig. You feel me? Like, you have accomplished what we want to accomplish when we grow up. And you're still in the community, and you're telling us, look, you're powerful right now, and your future begins right this second. I applaud that, and I just adore it. I'm really in my feelings right now.
And speaking of your organizations, last week we had Antonique Smith on, and she talked to us about the Hip Hop Caucus. Can you tell our audience a little bit further about that? Because she mentioned you for specifically.
Oh, yeah. Hip Hop Caucus is an organization that I'm part of. And it is, I guess, it is one of the predominant urban-based foundations, not-for-profit organization. It's a political organization that stands up for human rights of every kind, and it uses hip-hop as a platform. Now, the Hip-Hop Caucus has done many things. They did the stuff with Puffy, you know, Vote or Die. They did that with Puffy, which was a very huge campaign. Did and it won the largest voter registration campaigns ever. Not just for black youth, but ever. Then they did the Green the Block program. They've done, you know, against domestic violence. But the part that I'm, you know, that I'm in heavily right now is the part where we're doing people's climate music, which is bringing awareness to how much money, first of all, from a business standpoint, how much money people are making off of straight up raping the earth, like straight up, like digging into the earth, killing it, killing everything around there that lives and sustains off that piece of earth, taking it, ripping it apart, killing people, asthma, breast cancer, all linked to like these chemicals and fracking. It's in the water. It's in the water table, and not only giving a good god darn, but also saying deliberately, like, we don't care. You can't regulate us. Because we are powerful men with big machines, and you are a poor person that's trying to work your way through, you know, work at the local McDonald's to feed your three kids. You are the path of least resistance. You are poor without a voice, especially women. So the men are incarcerated in the community, and these are, I'm told this is all over the world. This ain't just, you know, Chicago and Detroit, which is terrible in Detroit because they got the largest incinerator in the country. Solid waste incinerator in the country in Detroit, and it's killing people. You know, it's literally
absolutely. They're trying to send nuclear waste here to Nevada. So
I just heard that. And when you talk about this, the ability to stand up for the first time, have your voice heard, man, that is empowering past the point of humanity. That's a spiritual thing. That's a that's past the human. That's the being part. The human being is two parts. The human that we being. That right there, that fortifies the being. That edifies the being. That's when you're talking about making some real change. People say, you know what? I'm not going to let you do this. I'm not going to let you just run rampant, run roughshod over me. And I mean, you got blow off, you know, petroleum blow off in Africa where there used to be rivers. It's just now sludge. So drinking water, and we're not killing the earth. They destroying parts of the earth. But that earth,
absolutely.
Earth,
they just spilled oil in Yosemite.
Okay. What?
Yeah,
wow.
They just put oil in Yosemite. That's in the paper out here.
Wow. See, that's somehow.
That's a national. That's one of our largest national parks. That's a national treasure. It has every federal protective law on it, and they just put oil in it. So, you know, I understand what you're saying. It's definitely a movement that needs more light.
They're making trillions of dollars off of this, though, and being complaining about people being poor. Like, oh, if you're poor, it's your fault. It's not your fault if you're poor. It's not your fault because they don't have a livable wage and all these things go back. They might give you 6 jobs in a community that destroys, you know, 80 acres of land. 80 acres
of the resources
that could have been, of the resources that you can't touch. They come in from wherever else and do this, that. So this is what climate, the people's climate movement is about, the people's climate music is about. You know, we're taking, you know, we got Neo, my brother, who I love, you know, and Sona, my sister, who I love, and Antonique, my sister, who I love, and Kevin's brother from American Idol, my sister, who I love, you know, and Common, my brother, who I love, and we put together this home album, and many more people, Kumasi, you know, out of Compton, and, you know, we put together strategically people, you know, the poet Jessica Caremore.
Mm-hmm.
So we redid What If God Was One of Us, just to say, hey, we're human too. You are human, and we are too. You're not human different than us. You're not human better than us. You don't get to destroy us and then make a lot of money from that and live the lifestyle that you want to live and leave us to our own ruin. So that's what this People's Climate Movement and People's Climate Music is about, and Reverend Lennox Yearwood at the Hip Hop Caucus, and Liz Hafstead at the Hip Hop Caucus, and TC, and Burundi Partlow. These people are out here fighting for people. When we sleep, they are fighting for us, you know. And I applaud that, and I can support that with my music, my production, and, you know, my ear and a little bit of influence that I have, and say, we will not let our babies be born with cancer no more. We're not
That's
letting
right.
that happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, how can we be down? Can you tell us the song, and we'll tell folks to, you know, go to iTunes and Amazon to grab it.
The album, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The album is called Home, Heal Our Mother Earth.
Ooh, I love that title.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so very much. You know, we got the group Carmen. They redid Big Yellow Taxi, and you just hear that song, and you just it sends chills. You know, just saying they paved paradise and put up a parking lot. You know, on and on it seems
to
go. You don't know what you got till it's gone. And that's where we are. We're not realizing that we are, you know, that's why we gotta recycle, you know. You gotta compost. Small things that we can do at home, but then we can start to, once you get in that mind state, we can start to lay down a real claim to the earth as part of her. We are part of her. And once we do that, we can get to these big nine companies that do most of the damage, that do like 99% of the damage to the planet Earth. So, but our little part with recycling and saving and conserving water and composting, those are important things because you want to give back to the, you know, if you have a party and people halfway drink a bottle of water, don't throw the bottle with the water away. It's water in that bottle. Pour the water outside, not down the sink, pour it outside, and then recycle the bottle. Those are simple steps that take you seconds to change the reality. Because the earth goes to survive, like I said, but the part that we need, the clean air, the clean water, that's going to be gone. And you
know what? And we're going to start a campaign. We'll join you with this. And the Angelus, as of now, we'll start doing short little videos on our fan page, The Angelus on Facebook, where we're showing you what we're doing around the house to save the Mother Earth. Super simple, just so we can lead by example. And you know what? The effort is that you all see it and you do it too. We can do this together.
Right.
It's not hard.
Yes, we can. It don't take that much of your time. I'm telling you, it literally takes seconds. That's the beautiful part about it.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a long time. I got 2 kids, and they're into it too, but I think that it's a difference between people hearing people say this and then people seeing people do it. So I'm going to take it a step further, and we're going to join this movement because it's only one Earth. And Mars ain't ready for us.
Home.
I don't care what they say.
it ain't ready for us. Raheem Devon got the song on the album called Out of Spaceship. Out of Spaceship. Take us out. He said, how much is a Bugatti? I probably can pay it. But how much is a rocket? And where can we take it? That's important. If you had a rocket, where you going to go? And you could build a rocket. But where you going to take it to? You got we got one planet we can live on that we know of, that we for sure know of. There's speculation about other ones that we know we got this one. So instead of trying to get to that next one, let's just start fixing this one back up.
Word. Yes, indeed.
Word. That's dope. Well, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to have this exchange.
Oh, my God. Thank y'all so much, guys. For real.
You got to come back. This family now, this side, all on this phone, three ways all the way around. So you got to come back and tell us what's good with good music, with Malik Youssef, with the foundations, with the whole you dig.
And good luck.
Yes, ma'am.
Not that you need it,
God.
Because luck is opportunity and preparation meeting up.
Patience.
You already did
That's
that.
Right.
So
right.
Have a good time at the Grammys this year.
Thank you. I'm going to have a great time. I appreciate y'all. I appreciate y'all so much. Y'all town is in the building. Good music is in the building.
So, Liz, now can you please let the public know how they can get at you on social media?
Yes. I think it's simple. It's Malik Youssef, MalikYusef. That's my Twitter handle. And then it's Malik Youssef, MalikYusef 100 on Instagram. And then, of course, Malik Youssef, MalikYusef on Facebook.
Make sure y'all stay in the know.
Please. I just try to give out, you know, information and fun stuff on my social media. I just be who I is right now. Same way I'm is on the internet.
You know, you dig? That's the organic factor that differentiates you from anybody that's faking, though. And that's we rock
Ooh.
With that.
It's hard for the shot to be fake, though. It just come out
it
of us
hard.
Eventually. Even if we try to, you know,
hold it in.
Hold it
yeah,
in. It's
can't.
Coming out. We can't hold it in. So.
No question. I concur with Sarah's statement. No question.
Thanks so much, young man. Keep making them hits.
Thank
you. Keep making us think. Keep
y'all.
Making us feel. We love you.
Oh, and just real quick, pass this to the family.
Yeah.
I am a fitness instructor. I'm a twerk instructor here in Vegas, and I rock out to good music
say,
all the time.
Did you say in Vegas?
Yes.
I'm in Vegas
here
right
in
now.
Vegas. Hey, okay, we're going to hang up, and I'm going to get your info.
Yes. I'm in Vegas right now, and you're a twerk instructor. I love that. That's so dope.
I sure am.
You know, twerking with your health in mind. So, I mean, she has developed
this.
A whole fitness routine that the city of Las Vegas has embraced. She's doing her first twerk out workout
Health Summit. On the 21st. It's a free event so that people can understand that being healthy is a lifestyle shift. It's different than being unhealthy, but it's not unrealistic.
It's not unrealistic. Thank you for saying that. That's so true. Oh, this is great. Great day in the morning. I'm very happy right now. Yes. Yes.
All right, so
yes.
We're going to hang up. I'll get at you after the show. Thank you so much for being on Needle on the Record.
Thank you all for having me. God bless. Good music.
God bless you as well.